is Express FM. Supported by the University of Portsmouth. We are passionately pumping.
Jamal Lowe's onside. The flag stayed down. Jamal Lowe, nonchalant, brilliant. Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
Cheltenham Town, that'll stick in my mind forever.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
Action and reaction.
It's an exciting challenge. I'm proud to be the manager of Portsmouth.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
The whole stadium erupted singing "Play Up Pompey." It was a surreal moment.
To do it with a club like Portsmouth was just incredible. That was the reason why I joined the club.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
At the second time of asking, the Blues were victorious at the Valley.
Final action of this match at the Valley. We've been able to see Portsmouth beat Charlton Athletic by 3-1.
Pompey bounced back from consecutive league defeats in some style in midweek, seeing off Charlton Athletic on their own turf. Kenny Jackett has since had his say on his team's performance and was full of praise for how his players and how they managed the game.
We saw it through, we defended fantastically well, we showed terrific spirit, but we're always looking to try to improve. But overall, I thought it was a deserved victory, a very spirited one, and some excellent goals as well, very, very good quality.
And between now and 7 o'clock, we'll also be hearing from Andy Cadden, who talks us through the atmosphere in the dressing room after such an important win.
As long as we keep on getting the 3 points and we've bounced back after the last two games, everyone's buzzing in there, so yeah, it's good.
Not to mention that we also want to hear from you back home as well. Let us know all of your thoughts from the midweek win over the Addicts and how confident that leaves you heading into the next two home games. You've got just under an hour to get your messages in to us tonight, as well as your score predictions for this weekend's game as well. Right here on 93.7 Express FM, a very good evening and welcome to another instalment of the Friday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
The warmest of welcomes on this cold Friday night to yet another episode of the Football Hour here on Express FM, the only radio station from our great island city of Portsmouth. This season, the show is being driven to you by Stagecoach Across the South, getting you in and around the city without a fuss and all very safely too. Be sure to visit stagecoachbus.com for the latest information regarding timetables, fares and COVID-related guidelines. And please remember that you must wear a face covering throughout your journey too. Well, it's been a great week for Pompey after a string of poor results, which led to the Blues being knocked out of the FA Cup and the EFL Trophy, as well as dropping down as far as fifth in the table. But that winning feeling finally returned on Tuesday night as Kenny Jackett took his side to South East London to take on Charlton Athletic. Broadcasting live from the comfort of the Fratton Park boardroom in midweek was Andy Moon, who has joined alongside former Blues boss Guy Whittingham for the commentary.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
A wonderful goal!
Every second of the action is right here.
Shoots and scores!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He's gone!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
Take two of Charlton against Portsmouth in League One. It wasn't possible on Saturday due to a waterlogged pitch. Jacobs plays it towards the penalty area, and here's a chance for Marquis. Left-footed effort, saved and wide of the post. What an opportunity, 0-0. Can the shot come in from Charlton? It can, but it's over the bar from Albie Morgan, who could run at the area. That was dangerous, 0-0. Cannon goes one way than the other, then leaves it for Naylor. Naylor plays into the box, shot it into the net, and Portsmouth have the lead, and Michael Jacobs has scored. Stabbed his right leg at the ball. Amos was rooted to the spot and it found its way into the roof of the net, and Charlton can have no complaints with Portsmouth going ahead. It's Charlton 0, Portsmouth 1, 5 minutes to the break.
Right-footed in swinger to come to the edge of the six-yard box,
and the header is into the back of the net, and Charlton are level. It's Jaden Stockley against his former club, and Portsmouth's lead lasts just 6 minutes of the second half. It's Charlton 1, Portsmouth 1.
Towards the far post, header there and into the net, and Pompey are level.
Pompey are level, they're ahead again. Tom Naylor. Naylor with his 7th of the season, rising at the back post. And Charlton equalising from a set piece, and Portsmouth responding immediately through their captain, Tom Naylor. What a season he's having. And it's Charlton 1, Portsmouth 2. And loose on the edge of the box, won by Cannon. Shoots, great goal. Fantastic from Andy Cannon. His play in this match has deserved that. And from the edge of the area, off the post and in. And Portsmouth have got daylight. Charlton 1, Pompey 3. Final action of this match here at the Valley. We've been able to see Portsmouth beat Charlton Athletic by 3-1.
Every second of the action is right here. This is 93.7 Express FM, Pompey Live.
Courtesy of our Radio Solent colleague, Andy Moon, those were the highlights of Tuesday's 3-1 win over the Addicts. And if you thought that would be as good as it got for Pompey that night, well, you'd be wrong.
Crossed in by Shaw, teasing delivery, and Aaron Wan-Bissaka was following it. Here is Greenwood, looking for Rashford, 2-0. It's come back out to Rashford. That's an own goal. Cavani free header. Simple goal for a man of his calibre. Martial on the move. He's held off the challenge and he's found the back of the net. Then in from McTominay and he's in on the act. Bruno Fernandes has the chance to end that run and does comfortably. Oh, that was close to Greenwood. Martial's finished it. Greenwood, Fernandes, James, they have nine. They have equaled the Premier League record. And Ralph Hasenhüttl, after those 9 goals at St Mary's conceded against Leicester, has seen it repeat itself tonight at Old Trafford.
It's hard to ignore such a fantastic achievement. So we send our congratulations, of course, to Manchester United for equaling the biggest ever Premier League victory on Tuesday night against, would you believe, a team who were top of the table for a whole 24 hours back in November. Wow. I say stop the count. That's all I say. OK then, in all seriousness now then, we've got plenty of coming up for you this evening here on the Football Hour, including a review of Tuesday's victory, the performances of the likes of Andy Cannon and Michael Jacobs, an update on last season's EFL Trophy final, and of course a preview of tomorrow's match against Plymouth Argyle. And joining me to discuss all of that and more this evening, I'm delighted to say, is Ryan Honey. Ryan, a very good evening to you, my friend, and welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jake. Good to be here again, mate.
It's a pleasure to have you on, mate. It's just the two of us tonight, I'm afraid, but we've got plenty to get through. I'm sure we'll find the time to get through all of it. There's so much to talk about after such a fantastic win on Tuesday, Ryan, against the team Charlton Athletic, who you could say underperforming this season. They've played the most games out of any team in this division. They are slowly starting to creep into those playoff places, but you know, teams around them with games in hand. Nonetheless, as we say, a very tough team to beat. They've beaten us for all consecutive matches in a row. So, would you say Tuesday night was a statement from the Blues?
Well, I think it was very much needed. I mean, obviously, after the Lincoln game and the whole game, we definitely needed to bounce back. And Charlton, usually our bogey team, so to speak, it was the perfect way to do so. And I mean, we thoroughly deserved the win from start to finish. I thought we were the better side. And like I say, no better way to bounce back and really stamp our mark down on automatic promotion race.
And we can't ignore it. We'll quickly hush over it. And another fantastic result just over an hour later. What a game at Old Trafford. You absolutely love to see it. Back-to-back seasons.
I mean, yeah, I mean... There's only so much you can say about that for a little while. I mean, but 9-0, yeah, goes without saying, obviously, a win for Pompey. And then to see that not so long after was something special.
Oh, you can't ignore it. The perfect night for Pompey. Anyway, don't forget, from back home, you Pompey fans, would love to hear from you between now and 7 o'clock. We've got plenty to discuss and we want you to get involved with the conversation tonight as well. Are you expecting an unchanged system for tomorrow's visit of Plymouth? Would you like to see Marcus Harness start up top alongside John Marquis, or were you pleased with Ellis Harrison's performance on Tuesday night? And how far, and for how long, sorry, can the Blues keep relying on their fantastic away record? Are you confident of home form improving in the second half of this season? All the usual ways to get involved. It's 81400 on the text. Start your messages with the word Express. You can tweet into @ExpressFM, email pompey@expressfm.com, or go to facebook.com/PompeyLive. You have just under 50 minutes to get all of your thoughts and score predictions into the panel here tonight, Ben. And again, back to Tuesday night, then, Ryan, of course, we'll start off by talking about that game at the Valley. Fantastic win, but after back-to-back league defeats against promotion rivals Hull and Lincoln, it was the kind of, not just the result, actually, but the performance and the manner of performance, the attitude from the players that we were really looking for. And that all came about on Tuesday night.
Yeah, I mean, that's what promotion candidates do, It's not about the form. It's about how you bounce back after losing that form, and that's exactly what we did. I mean, Hull and Lincoln were always going to be tough games, and we've beaten them in the reverse fixture. So no team has gained ground on each other there. So, I mean, we've balanced each other out, and to come back from those two games, those are massive games because they did. Obviously gain the 3 points on us at this stage of the season, and we're coming into a pivotal part of the season, the really, really busy fixture schedule, and it was pivotal that we were to bounce back, because obviously Charlton, a big side in themselves, they'll be looking for promotion again this season, and no greater way to do so.
Yeah, and we previously mentioned here on the Foot Blower, but, you know, home form this season, in particular for Pompey, it's not been as good as previous seasons. 5 wins and 5 defeats at Fratton Park for the Blues this campaign already. And going to the Valley on Tuesday night, obviously that was meant to be played on Saturday, but do you feel that maybe with the record that Charlton have got against Pompey, especially, you know, away from home, in terms of, you know, when you look at it from Pompey's point of view, do you think that if, you know, in a non-COVID world, fans were at the Valley on Tuesday night, do you think that result may have been a little bit different? Because we know they've got a very decent backing, and it is a very tough place to go to. Do you think maybe the fact that the game was played behind closed doors perhaps fell into Pompey's favour a little bit?
Potentially. I mean, you could flip the coin and put the shoe on the other foot and say if we had fans at Fratton Park in the reverse fixture, things could have been a little different there. Obviously, losing at home and then winning away, I mean, it is showing this season that fans have made the fans not being there have made a humongous impact on the results of games. And I think, you know, Pompey knew what they were going to go up against, and they knew that there weren't going to be any fans there. So potentially that they used it to their advantage, but the shoe would have been on the other foot in the reverse fixture. So.
It certainly evens itself out over the course of a season. Yeah. So, you know, no way, you know, using it as some sort of excuse to say, well, if, you know, fans were at Fratton Park, we'd be winning more home games, because, you know, nothing is a given. You can't say that, you know, for a fact. But as you say, it does even itself out. You know, you've got 23 home games, 23 away games. Every team is in the same boat. You just got to deal with it, unfortunately. It's a very strange campaign. But we're going to now hear from the gaffer, Kenny Jackett, who spoke to Ollie Marsh on the touchline following the full-time whistle on Tuesday night, and he was a very happy man.
Yeah, it really was a big win. I thought we showed fantastic spirit and scored some cracking goals. You know, real quality that made the difference against, you know, a very good Charlton side.
Charlton put a bit of pressure on you at the start of the second half when they scored their goal, but apart from that, would you say it was a comfortable performance from your side?
I felt that at 3-1 up, you know, we can do better at those phases of the games. While we, you know, defended brilliantly and put our bodies on the line, just our ball retention in those moments, you know, we give the ball back to the opposition and give them too many opportunities, and it makes us defend, I think, more than we should. But, you know, that's maybe a technical point. We saw it through. We defended fantastically well. We showed terrific spirit, and that is part of it. But we're always looking to try to improve. But overall, during the course of the game, yes, I thought it was a deserved victory, a very spirited one, and some excellent goals as well. Very, very good quality.
Yeah, and you did see the game out very well as well, which was especially impressive with 8 minutes added on at the end as well.
Yeah, it was. It was always going to be that with a clash of heads. And so, you know, if that was 6 or 7 of them, then, you know, 1 or 2. So, you know, we saw that. But, you know, we saw it out, as you say, comfortably. And, you know, very pleased with the players, the application of it, the team spirit, their will to win.
It was James Bolton that filled in for Jack Watmore at centre-back. Why did Rasmus Nicolaisen miss out today?
Rasmus is at home. It's the birth, hopefully, today of their second child, him and his wife. So I haven't heard anything today. Hopefully everything's okay. I'm sure it will be. And, you know, once the newborn is there, he'll be back with us.
Yeah, and a number of other changes as well, and you must be particularly happy with Michael Jacobs coming into the side and grabbing a goal.
Yeah, he scored a real excellent goal, terrific quality, and also, as you say, some very good performances for some players. Haven't played for a little bit, but we are going to need all of the squad. We're going to need everybody. We have to make sure we've got full energy every game now, because, you know, there's no point having the squad if not. And you know, I'm pleased for James Bolton as well, because he's been out of it for quite a while, but coming in at right centre-back, you know, I thought he put on a terrific performance, and really helped the players.
As you say, it was a fantastic goal from Crackers, but all three goals were very pleasing. What would you say was your pick of the bunch?
Yeah, as you say, probably Michael Jacobs. Good to see Andy get one as well, because you know he has turned up on the edge of the box and struck quite a few shots without any success. And hopefully now that can sort of spark him into a little bit of a run. He has the ability to do it, and you know, big player for us now, Andy Cannon, and a very good performance.
Of course, after the defeats to Hull and Lincoln, you must feel like this result really cements your place as a serious promotion contender.
Yeah, I mean, vastly different games, and obviously one sent off against Lincoln after 30 minutes, and we were unlucky not to get anything out of the game as well that night. So, you know, vastly different games, but as you say, in the end, two defeats. And Saturday's game being off can sometimes, you know, bring on a little bit of anxiety, and in terms of the players looking for their confidence. But they dug in tonight, and I thought in the first half we were worthy of our lead. Just finding that final pass or that finish at the end would have put us further away. And, you know, I do know that in terms of the players that we have, we will get that right. And, you know, confidence does come with this group very quickly because they have a lot of determination.
We just heard from the gaffer there, Ryan, and you have to give credit where it's due, because from a tactical standpoint, he got it spot on Tuesday night.
No, he did. I mean, obviously bringing Ellis Harrison back into the team up front with Marquis really did pay dividends. I mean, they caused problems from start to finish, really, and then in the later stages. I mean, they were brilliant at holding up the ball and getting us up the pitch. So in that regard, bringing Harrison onto the pitch, it really, really helped us. And even the introduction of Charlie Daniels, his experience at the back, and I thought Bolton as well, he deserves a special mention, because I thought he was absolutely brilliant to hold off the likes of Chuck Tanike and Jaden Stockley the way he did.
You mentioned as well the likes of James Bolton, Charlie Daniels, and of course as well Andy Cannon, man of the match on Tuesday night. But from back to front, it was just an all-round great performance, wasn't it? It was solid, it was professional, and even after the restart into the second half when Jaden Stockley inevitably equalised for Charlton, Pompey reacted very quickly and were, you know, done very well to react to that and, you know, regain the lead.
Yeah, they did. I mean, in previous seasons, when Pompey have gone in front and then the other teams come back and equalised, we've seen us sit back or try and protect that 1-0 lead before reacting. So it was really pleasing to see once Charlton did get that goal, the momentum never swung back in their favour. Mm. And we punished them 3-4 minutes after they equalised.
Alan Swift on the email says, "Hi, Jake and Ryan. That 3-1 win wasn't down to tactics or team selection. It was all about an all-round player team performance. The scorers were three midfielders. Where are the goals from the forwards? It was all about effort, commitment and skills. Tomorrow, I expect the same team to again win by a couple of goals. Say 3-1 again, but I'll go for a 3-0 win. With Bolton playing to that standard, he was highly rated. It may be hard for Jack to get his place back unless we go with a back three. It's all to play for. A couple of wins on the bounce should put us right back in there. P.S. There's still no answer for me as to why Geordie is out in the cold. Jackett's response did not make sense to me. If he doesn't like him, why sign him?" says Alan in Southsea there on the emails. And just very quickly before we do head to our first break of the night, Ryan, very interesting as well to see yet again Geordie Hawula not even make the bench on Tuesday night, especially in a game where both John Marquis and Ellis Harrison were both named within the starting 11. No really recognised striker on the bench, and Geordie Hawula once again frozen out. Where do you stand on that?
Oh, I'm a little bit confused, and I'm sure that a lot of Pompey fans are confused by this as well. When the announcement was made in early January that he would be staying with us until the end of the season, I'm sure I'm not alone in thinking, you know, that's a very good signing that we've got to bring into the team. Obviously, seeing him in the first half of the season, I thought he did very well in the limited chances that he did get. But to see him frozen out the team, like you say, and like we've seen, obviously, at Charlton and Lincoln as well, I don't think he made the bench either. It's disappointing to see, because he is such a threat, especially coming off the bench. He's got so much energy, so much pace. And I really think that we could benefit from that. Maybe not now, potentially, but later on in the season, especially because the fixture is going to be immense.
Yeah. Okay, Ryan, thank you very much. Very soon, we'll be hearing from Andy Cannon, who talks about the relief of securing the victory after the frustration of Saturday's postponement.
We've got a tough schedule coming up, you know, run of games, loads of games coming up. So for it to get called off and then having to come back to pay, you know, and I don't know how other players see it, but that happening just makes you want to get that win, you know, even that little bit more, you know, knowing that you've had to come up here and you don't want to come up here for no reason and go away with nothing. So thankfully we've come away with the 3 points.
But not before we head to a very short break. I'll be back with Ryan in just a few moments' time to continue reacting to Tuesday's win over Charlton right here on the only radio station proud to be passionately Pompey. You're listening to the Football Hour on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very good evening and welcome back to the Football Hour on Express FM, which is brought to you this season by Stagecoach Across the South. Download the Stagecoach app from either the Apple app or Google Play Store now to plan your next journey. So back to Tuesday night and back to Brian Honey. We are here to review the events of Pompey's 3-1 victory over Charlton Athletic at the Valley on Tuesday night. And Pompey were trying to avoid an unwanted stat, Ryan, of having not lost 3 in a row in the league since April 2018, almost 3 years ago now. The defeat against Lincoln in midweek of last week at Fratton Park marked the first time Pompey lost back-to-back league games in over 2 years under Kenny Jackett. So it goes to show that actually, you know, the remarkable record under Kenny Jackett of not being defeated on too many occasions in the league. I know there is a lot of, you know, debate, you know, going around about the style of play, the tactics and some of the decision making. I know a lot of the fan base is very divided on the managerial position at the moment, but in terms of being hard to beat, Pompey are certainly one of those sides.
Oh, for sure. I mean, the way in which Kenny Jackett obviously operates his teams, they're very hard to beat, defensively sound. And I was saying earlier about how a good promotion challenger is about the form, but it's also about how you react when you're not in that form, when that form is broken up. And I mean, Pompey were in a good reign of form before the Hull and Lincoln defeats, and we're now in that period of time where how are we going to bounce back? How are we going to react? And that Charlton win shows that it was a tough game, a well fought game. And being a promotion challenger, those are the games you've sort of got to rally yourself and go on and get the 3 points.
And Rasmus Nicolaisen missing from the squad on Tuesday night. Kenny Jackett confirming after the game that his partner has given birth safely to a young girl. So congratulations to Rasmus Nicolaisen and his partner for the birth of their baby girl. Perhaps he'll be back on Saturday for the visit of Plymouth Argyle. But in relation to that news, Ryan, of course, we send our best wishes to Rasmus and his partner mm-hmm. for the birth of their new daughter. But James Bolton coming straight into the team, you would imagine, unplanned, you could imagine it was, you know, thrown in the deep end. A player who's not had too much game time this season, been really frozen out of the squad, limited minutes for him this campaign. To come straight into a game of that magnitude against a team like Charlton, who've got, you know, such an attacking threat, you can't help but feel he actually performed very, very well.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. I think he came into the team and I think he raised a few eyebrows when he was chucked in at centre-half. I'm sure when the team sheet was released and the fans saw it, I'm sure that, yeah, eyebrows were raised. But, I mean, Jackett threw him in there and Bolton showed why he threw him in there, because he'd done exceptionally well against one of, if not, the best hold-up striker, I want to say, in League One, in Jaden Stockley. And although Jaden Stockley did get a lot of the ball sent towards him and he did hold up a lot, when he did do that, Bolton was there to throw himself in front of the ball and block and intercept. I mean, he was outstanding considering how much game time he's had this season, yeah.
Yeah, and another one of his back four companions, Charlie Daniels, making his full debut for Pompey in midweek. We know what he's about. We know the experience he brings to the team, but it was his first start for Pompey. Again, not been at the club very long, but how did you assess his performance on Tuesday night? Was it the kind of performance you were expecting from such a senior pro?
I think so. I mean, you know what you're getting with Charlie Daniels. Obviously, see him in the Premier League not so long ago. He's got a brilliant left foot. And I also noticed his really, really good leadership skills. I mean, when Pompey did regain the lead and went 2-1 up and tried to take the sting out of the game, and then Cannon got the third, it was noticeable to see Daniels sort of just get everyone together, calm the heads and really take this thing out of the game to stop any sort of Charlton revival. So, I mean, although Lee Brown does that, I mean, when you mix the leadership and the talent that Charlie Daniels possesses, I mean, if he plays like that every week, we're in for something good down that left-hand side.
Yeah, and speaking of something good down that left-hand side, Charlie Daniels, of course, fantastic performance on Tuesday night, but Pompey opened the scoring, and it was actually through the right-hand side, but a player who likes to drift out to the left, sometimes come in the middle as well. Michael Jacobs opened the scoring for the Blues, and it was some goal of that as well.
Naylor plays into the box, shot it into the net, and Portsmouth have the lead, and Michael Jacobs has scored.
It was a beautiful little chip into the middle, wasn't it, Ryan, from Tom Naylor, the captain, and Michael Jacobs, first time of asking. It was a sort of a half volley. It did bounce just a little bit as it came to him, straight into that top-hand corner, and a fantastic finish from a player who we all know is competing for that starting position over Ronan Curtis. He got the nod on Tuesday night, and he certainly repaid, you know, the faith given to him by the manager, Kenny Jackett.
No, he did. I mean, he'll do very well to score a better goal than that this season. I'm certain of that, because it was some finish. I was saying to my brother before the game, I think we're yet to see the best of Michael Jacobs. Obviously, he had that little injury early on in his Pompey career. But, I mean, if that's a glimpse of what's to come, if he can really reach the heights and the form that he showed at Wigan, like I said earlier, yeah, we're definitely in for something, in for a treat down that left-hand side with Daniels and him linking up.
Yeah, he hasn't really had a string of games to consistently perform at, has he? We've seen him in flashes during matches. Of course, Ronan Curtis has held that position for the majority of the campaign. Michael Jacobs filling in when needed. But in terms of a string of games where he's started and managed to assert himself into the team, not really had that. So like you say, we all know what he's capable of. We know what he brings to the team. Perhaps now this is his chance to you know, show the manager, show the fans what he's got on a consistent basis.
Yeah, I think that's exactly the way forward, because obviously Ronan Curtis has been our main man down the left-hand side for, well, this is his third season now with us, and I mean, he's really cemented in his place in the side. And when Ronan's not in form, which he's not always going to be, that'll give someone like Jacobs the opportunity to come into the team and show what he can do. And I mean, after the Charlton game, I think it will set him up for tomorrow. I can't see him being shifted, and it'll give him a good opportunity to try and cement his place like Ronan did in the team.
Yeah. And just under 10 minutes into the second half, we don't need to listen to Charlton's goal, do we? Jaden Stockley inevitably scoring against Pompey. We all saw that one coming, but it was Captain Tom Naylor who headed the Blues back in front very, very quickly.
Towards the far post, header there and into the net, and Pompey are ahead again. Tom Naylor.
Not quite the screamer we are used to from Tom Naylor this season, Ryan, but once again, the captain stepping up to the role and really leading by example, scoring yet another goal for Pompey. He's already broken his record amount of goals in a single season for his, you know, his personal achievements, but it's another goal on the tally for him.
Yeah, long may it continue. I mean, I think also the introduction of Harness for Williams, that's got to be mentioned, because as soon as Harness came on the pitch, he had one set piece and a goal came from it.
Yeah.
It was a reactive substitution from Jackett after the Stockley goal to bring Harness on. I don't know if Williams was struggling with an injury or it was tactical or whatever, but I mean, credit where credit's due, Harness came on and proved decisive with that free kick, and it was a good ball in and a really strong header, and no keeper in the league saving it. And I mean, we, like you say, we expect nothing less from Tom Naylor, whether it's in the box or from outside the box now.
And on the 63rd minute, Andy Cannon made the result sort of stand out. It gave Pompey a two-goal advantage. Let's take a listen to that one.
One by Cannon. Shoots. Great goal. Fantastic from Andy Cannon.
really summed up well by Andy Moon there. Fantastic from Andy Cadden. It was an effort curled in from outside of the box. Callum Johnson had originally delivered it from the right on the counter attack. Charlton failed to clear it, and it was great anticipation, you've got to say, Ryan, from Andy Cadden to win the ball back and double Pompey's lead in off a post. And that actually his first goal of the season, which, you know, it surprised me. But in terms of the goal itself, persistency paid off for him.
And persistency is literally, that literally epitomises Andy Cannon. I think he's been absolutely sensational for us in the middle this season, especially in the last 10, 12 matches with Tom Naylor. And you do see him sort of arrive late into the box or outside of the box. And I think Jacket mentioned it, his shots sometimes go awry. But obviously this one, found the top corner. I mean, it was a brilliant finish. He'd done well to dispossess Watson. And I mean, Amos had absolutely no chance. So I'm very, very happy for him.
Yeah. Let's take a few moments now to hear from Andy Cannon, who first spoke about how it felt to bag his first goal of the season in Tuesday night's 3-1 victory at Charlton.
It's just calm, you know, I've nicked it off him and I've put it away. I'm just happy to help the team, you know, on that side of things. So yeah, it's a great feeling. And but the main thing's 3 points.
It's your first goal of this season. Is it something that's been on your mind at all? You're not sort of necessarily known as a goal scoring midfielder.
Yeah, it just came, you know. When you overthink things, I say it all the time, you overthink it, not thinking of it at all, and then it's come now, do you know what I mean? And I've had a few assists and stuff like that. But yeah, it's just great to get on and, you know, help with that department. You know, all the players at the top are doing it, so to chip in with it and help, yeah, it's a good.
Yeah, and you've had to watch your midfield partner Tom Naylor score a couple of rockets this season. It must be nice to add one to your own collection, especially with him on the score sheet tonight as well.
Yeah, definitely. You know, he's been doing great. You know, I'm buzzing for him, and he keeps on getting goals and keeps on saying, when are you going to get one? So luckily tonight I got one, but he got one as well. So yeah, we're buzzing. We have a bit of banter about it, you know what I mean? But as long as we keep on getting the 3 points and how we've bounced back off, obviously after the last two games, everyone's buzzing in there, so yeah, it's good.
What was it like? Obviously you were here on Saturday and then the game got called off. Mentally, sort of, where did that leave you in terms of looking ahead to this game?
Yeah, it's frustrating. We've got a tough schedule coming up, you know, run of games, loads of games coming up, so for it to get called off and then having to come back here, you know, and I think, I don't know how other players see it, but you know, that happening, it just makes you want to get that win, you know, just even that little bit more, you know, knowing that you've had to come up here and you don't want to come up here for no reason and go away with nothing. So thankfully we come away with the 3 points, and yeah, it's all good.
Yeah, and as you say, bouncing back from the Hull and the Lincoln game was the aim. You know, how happy are you that you've done this, and what do you think this result can mean in the context of your season?
Yeah, obviously people question how you bounce back, like, you know, teams go through sticky patches, and I've had a couple of losses, and coming here is not easy at all. A lot of teams are going to struggle here, and we've come here today and I feel everyone worked so hard for each other. Everyone were putting the body on the line, and we had a few more chances we could have put away, we could have scored even more, but it's how you bounce back. And I thought coming here today and then winning 3-1, superb result, and hopefully we can just carry that on now and get on the run of games again.
Yeah, and it's your first game of eight this month in February. I mean, is that something that you look forward to playing sort of week in, week out?
Yeah, game day's a great day, do you know what I mean? You're coming to play football, you just want to play football. So, yeah, there's going to be a lot of games, but it's how you prepare yourself. And we just need to all stick together and make sure we're all ready for the games and just keep on going.
Andy Cannon with Ollie Marsh from the Pompey media team following Tuesday's win over Charlton at the Valley. And Andy Cannon, we previously spoke about him before that interview, Ryan. We highlighted, you know, what a key player he was for Pompey in midweek. Do you feel he's finally settled in that role alongside Tom Naylor? Do you think it's going to be hard now to remove him from that position?
Absolutely. I mean, he's made it very difficult for the likes of Harvey White and George Byers, who have come in the January window, to shift him. I mean, and Ben Close, obviously, who's been in the shadows. But yeah, I mean, the results speak for themselves. And I think Cannon and Naylor in the middle are the influence behind the majority of those results. They've really been the engine room. And I mean, Cannon's energy, Naylor's leadership and awareness has really taken us to the next level, I think, in terms of our promotion challenge.
It's certainly a perfect combination in that midfield, isn't it? And that's really something Pompey have been lacking, you know, dare I say it, since the departure of Ben Thompson a couple of seasons back. But Pompey have been, you know, lacking a leader in the midfield, someone to step up to the plate and, you know, command things at the centre of a pitch, and some alongside him to, like you say, start the attacks, link the midfield to, you know, the attacking players, the wide players as well. So do you think Pompey have, you know, finally resolved those, you know, those issues and really the gap left by Ben Thompson? Do you think Andy Cannon now is that man to carry on into the rest of the season? I know there's a lot of competition in the form of, you know, Harvey White and George Byers, but is Andy Cannon the way to go?
At the moment, Jake, I wouldn't have it any other way. I mean, Cannon and Naylor for me are the first two names on the team sheet. And I think, like I was saying earlier, Byers and Harvey White, they're going to have to play extremely well in training to change Jackett's mind.
Certainly a selection headache from the gaffer, you know, and what he's got to now decide for these upcoming games. Like you say, you can't really see any way out of the team at the moment for Andy Cannon. But when you've got two players on the bench, such as Harvey White and George Byers, both loanies on loan from Tottenham and Swansea City, respectively, two very young, hungry players. We know, again, what they bring to the team, two exciting individuals. And, of course, Ben Close. You can't forget Ben Close, a solid performer on his day as well. So you've got three backup options there to fall back upon, you know, fearing the worst, injury, suspensions, or even perhaps a dip in form. It's good to have those options.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, that's something that in previous seasons we haven't really had a number of brilliant options to bring in off the bench. And I mean, say Andy Cannon, there's a massive amount of games to be played, and fixtures will pile up. So say Cannon does need a rest, I mean, you've got the likes of George Byers or Harvey White, Ben Close, to come in and really, you know, give Jackett a headache, make them hard decisions, try and keep getting the team and stay there, and then force Andy Cannon to work even harder to get back in. I mean, competition's really good to have, especially a promotion challenge inside.
Yeah. Got a text in here from Jill in Portsmouth, who says, "Hi all, I think mocking Southampton on air is childish. Remember the phrase, what goes around comes around. Jill, we're only having fun. It's only banter. You know it'd happen the other way around as well if it happened to us. It's all fun. We're only joking. We all know that Pompey are going to lose a game one day. It's going to be embarrassing, and so they're going to have their laugh as well. That's unfortunately football. It does all come around. It goes around. But for now, it's been a good week. Let's enjoy the moment. They've lost 9-0. Happy days for now. Pompey have won. They've lost. They've been thumped. Brilliant. It was a good night. Let us relish in it. Gav Jones on Twitter. Good evening, gents. Well, what a week to be a Pompey fan. The complete flip from Jill's text. Firstly, we get a comfortable win over our bogey team away from home, and then them lot up the road get royally thumped 9-0. Bolton and Cannon both deserve huge credit for immense performances on Tuesday night. Gav Jones there on Twitter. Okay then, we are just under 20 minutes away from the end of the show this evening, so it's time for our second and final break of the night. On the way, we've got a preview of tomorrow's League One clash at Fratton Park between Pompey and Plymouth Argyle, and throughout which we'd love to hear your score predictions. Are you confident of the Blues making it two wins on the trot? Let us know. It's 81400 on the text, starting your messages with the word Express. You can email into pompey@expressfm.com, tweet using @expressfm, or find us on Facebook, facebook.com/PompeyLive. Do join us again very shortly for the conclusion of this Friday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7. Express FM.
Welcome back for the final time tonight to the Football Hour on Express FM, driven to you this season by Stagecoach Across the South. And this really is your last chance to get your text, tweets and emails into us this evening. We're looking for your score predictions for tomorrow's game between Pompey and Plymouth Argyle. To get involved, you can send a text to 81400 using the word Express at the start of those. Otherwise, you can email pompey@expressfm.com, tweet using @expressfm, or find us on Facebook, facebook.com/PompeyLive. You have just under 15 minutes to get those messages and predictions into us tonight. But before we do get to any of those, we're going to hand you over to Connor Mosley, who has the lowdown on Pompey's next opponents, Plymouth Argyle.
The Blues prevented a third consecutive league defeat in midweek by seeing off Charlton Athletic away from home, finally. Pompey now sit in fourth in League One and face two home fixtures on the bounce, the first of which taking place this weekend against Plymouth Argyle.
Pompey Live, this week's opposition.
Michael Jacobs, Tom Naylor and Andy Cannon were all on the score sheet at the Valley on Tuesday night as Kenny Jackett's side moved up to fourth place. Up next, however, is a much different challenge in the form of mid-table Plymouth Argyle at Fratton Park. Here are the facts and figures you need to know prior to kickoff with the Pilgrims.
Manager.
42-year-old Ryan Lowe is the manager of Plymouth Argyle, having been appointed in June 2019. Lowe's only previous managerial experience came at now expelled from the Football League Bury, with whom he achieved automatic promotion from League Two in 2019 before being nabbed by Argyle months later. He repeated that feat with the Pilgrims in his first season in charge at Home Park, though helped along by the workings of the unweighted points per game system following the suspension of League Two amidst the COVID-19 fears. The Liverpudlian, who featured as a striker for teams such as Shrewsbury Town, Crewe Alexandra and even Bury themselves during a 19-year-long playing career, has achieved a win percentage of 46.8% from a total of 79 competitive fixtures.
One to watch.
Scottish forward Ryan Hardy should have a close eye kept on him this weekend. The 23-year-old has featured 22 times for the Pilgrims so far this season, though has netted on just three occasions, down from 7 goals in 13 appearances for the club during an end-of-loan spell last year. Hardy, who came through the youth ranks at Glasgow Rangers, spent the first half of the campaign on loan at Plymouth from fellow League One outfit Blackpool, but made the move to the South West permanent during this year's January transfer window. He's also represented the Scotland national team from the under-16s through to the under-21s, though has yet to make his debut for the senior squad.
Top scorer.
The Pilgrims' leading scorer is a man who was born after the turn of the millennium. 21-year-old Luke Jeffcott was born in the January of the year 2000 and is currently leading the way at the top of the goal-scoring charts in League One with 14 goals to his name. Jeffcott's closest competitors for the Golden Boot are Peterborough's Johnson Clark Harris, who scored 13, Sunderland's Charlie Wyke on 12, and of course Pompey's John Marquis, who currently sits fourth with 11. Plymouth striker Jeffcott, who spent last season on loan at Truro City in the Southern Premier League, has been capped 9 times overall for both the Welsh under-19s and the under-21 squads.
Current form.
Ryan Lowe's Plymouth are currently on a run of 5 unbeaten in the league and are just one of a handful of teams in England to still remain unbeaten in their respective leagues since the turn of the calendar year. The Pilgrims last suffered a league loss on the 29th of December 2020 when Oxford United came back from 1-0 down to claim a 3-2 win at Home Park. That impressive run, which has returned 3 wins and 2 draws, has elevated Plymouth up to 14th in the overall standings and 3rd in the form table, behind only Oxford and Doncaster. The reverse fixture between Plymouth and Pompey ended in a 2-2 draw at Home Park back in November. Can the Blues record just their 6th home league win of the season, or will Plymouth Argyle snatch only their 3rd away league victory? All of the unmissable action of the Not a Dockyard Derby Derby is right here on Pompey Live.
I love that. Not a Dockyard Derby Derby. It's not a Dockyard Derby. We all know it isn't. Connor Mosley there with a lowdown on Plymouth Argyle, who of course travelled along to Pompey, technically north for them, on Saturday afternoon. Strange to say that, Ryan, isn't it? A team coming to Fratton Park and having to travel north to do so on a technicality. But yeah, Plymouth Argyle, they're going to pose a threat as well, Ryan, tomorrow, particularly as Connor mentioned there, the likes of Ryan Hardy and Luke Jeffcott, who is actually league's leading goal scorer.
Yeah, I mean, I think their results in recent times have speak for themselves. I mean, 5 unbeaten in the league. Well, in their last 5, I mean, stretching back to 6, I think, actually. Yeah, 6 games unbeaten, 4 wins in that time. They're going to be a tough nut to crack. I mean, they've come into a nice bit of form. And it's up to us now to try and get through that and spark a little bit of form ourselves and get back onto the path of promotion.
Yeah, and earlier today we heard reports of manager Ryan Lowe coming out to the press and saying that it's going to be difficult for his side to break down a Pompey side who have spent so much money since their promotion from League Two somewhat 4 years ago. Ryan, your thoughts on those that bold statement from Ryan Lowe there, the Plymouth manager, who, as we understand, has actually spent quite a bit himself to make sure his side remains in League One. So a bit of an odd one, but I mean, regardless of what he's trying to say, he's not wrong. It's going to be difficult for them to break down a Pompey side, as we found out in the reverse fixture at Home Park, which ended in a 2-2 draw.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, his comments are a little bit bemusing. I mean, Pompey, although we've spent money, I wouldn't actually call us big spenders, because that's a label that you'd probably give to the likes of maybe Peterborough.
Sunderland,
or,
4 million on
World Sunderland,
Creek.
Yeah. Yeah, Sunderland, Peterborough, maybe. I mean, us, maybe a bit of a stretch. But I get where he's coming from. He wants to try and label us before the game, just in case it goes in our favour, and then he's got something to fall back on. I understand.
It seems to be a recurring theme at Plymouth, doesn't it? Do you remember Derek Adams when he used to try and blame the green seats at Home Park for his players not being able to see their teammates who were also wearing green? I think the next game they wore white, their away kit, and still lost.
It might just be a coincidence. It's Plymouth. I mean, it's just something we've got to deal with and look to get the 3 points. I mean, that's the most important thing at the end of the day.
And just quickly, on a bit of a tangent, got to mention it tonight before we do head off in just a few moments' time. We heard news this week, great news, but the 2020 EFL Trophy final against Salford City has finally got a new date. Of course, it will be played behind closed doors. That, unfortunately, was inevitable. Fans are currently receiving their refunds from the club as we speak. But the date for the game will be Saturday the 13th of March, just next month. Just 24 hours before before this season's trophy final. So could be quite a trivial stat coming up for Pompey, Ryan, where Pompey could become the longest holders of the competition by default, really, thanks to COVID-19 postponing last season's final. But at the same time, if we do beat Salford in that final, we could also become the shortest holders of the competition in less than 24 hours. So yet again, Pompey breaking those sort of weird records. We've done it with the FA Cup during World War II. We may be doing it again with the EFL Trophy.
No, it is bizarre. I mean, fortuitous circumstances maybe, but it's completely out of our hands for the FA Cup back in the World War II days. And now with COVID, I mean, it's just one of those things. But I mean, for us to go in and try and win another trophy, it'd be brilliant. Obviously, no fans there, which is disappointing, but needs must in these times. And to hold on to it for a solid 24 hours, I mean, it's sort of, I think it sort of belittles the trophy and the title a little bit more than usual, which is a little disappointing.
Certainly got to a point. I mean, it's out of everyone's hands. They've tried to get it. They tried to postpone it as long as possible and hope the fans maybe return to see it. But unfortunately, out of the hands of EFL, Pompey and Salford, unfortunately, it's in none of those hands. They've tried their best to try and wait as long as possible, but unfortunately, we're not at a stage where we are, anywhere near seeing fans return. So, yeah, not the greatest of circumstances, but that game will be played on the 13th of March, which means the game away to Peterborough League will be moved to Tuesday the 16th of March, just a few days later, at London Road. And just on a bit of a tangent as well, just a bit of news from Haven to Waterlooville, and this kind of leaks to Pompey. Ryan Williams' twin brother, Aaron Williams, has signed for the Hawks. Good signing for the Hawks. And we'd love to talk more about it, Ryan. We haven't got much time to go through it, but very quickly, a good signing for Haven. You'll know all about him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, obviously, the brother of Ryan. I don't know too much about him. I don't know his play style, but I know that he's a well-rounded footballer and he's a good addition for the Hawks.
Yeah. Got a few interaction on the on Facebook. Ian Sands says, Harrison has his faults, but a big man helps Marquis, leaves him to pick up the bits and pieces rather than having to go for the first ball. I think Ian Sands would like to see Ellis Harrison start tomorrow's game against Plymouth Argyle. Got a few more as well. Tom Sturt, what do you think on Oxford's recent form? Do you see them as a threat for promotion, Ryan? Do you see Oxford as a threat for promotion?
I wouldn't be surprised to see them sneak into the automatics the way they're going. Outstanding form. I mean, Matty Taylor, they've got quality players. Cameron Brannigan back. He's almost been like a new signing. Sam Winnell coming into the goal, so they've got competition up the top end of the pitch as well. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they keep up this run of form. They could definitely sneak into the playoffs.
Interestingly as well, I believe Oxford and Doncaster are two in-form teams in the division. And if I'm right in saying, they meet each other this weekend. So certainly a battle to watch out for. Pompey fans want to keep a close eye on. So yeah, Pompey taking on Plymouth Argyle tomorrow at Thratton Park. A good chance very quickly, Ryan, before we do get the score predictions in. A good chance for Pompey to make it two wins in a row. And yeah, again, once again, that reaction we needed from a couple of poor results.
Definitely. I mean, this is the perfect opportunity to really stamp our mark down on this promotion charge and get some get that run of form going again like we did before Christmas, going into Christmas and then into January.
We got an email, sorry, not an email, a text in from Mike T and Salcy. Don't forget the lucky Jaffa Cakes, Jake. They certainly did the trick at the Valley. Mike T, I've got them. They are literally in my bag just over there. So I'm ready. I'm ready for tomorrow's game. John Fitzpatrick says, hello, lads. How are you doing this evening? Very well, John. Thank you for asking. Hope you're all well. I think we can beat Plymouth 2-1 tomorrow, and I think we can get another 3 points in the bag. John Fitzpatrick on Twitter there. Paul O'Neill on Facebook, 3-1 to Pompey. Keep the same starting 11 and bring Geordie Hawula Black up to the Blues, says Paul O'Neill on Facebook. And Michael Charlton's going for a 4-1 Pompey win. Ryan Honey, your score prediction, please.
I think we're going to get back to the clean sheet run. I'm going to go for a 2-0 Pompey win.
2-0 Pompey win. Ryan, thank you so much for joining me on tonight's show. Hope your prediction does pay off. I'm going to go for a 3-1 again. I think we're going to mirror Tuesday's result. Okay, Pompey fans, we are not far away from the Blues' next fixture. Pompey take on Plymouth Argyle at Thratton Park, looking to revive a little bit of that home form. You can join us for all of the unmissable action right here on Express FM. And I follow Pompey from 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
Portsmouth have found a way yet again.
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
The Blues stormed the capital in midweek and came away from the Valley at the second time of asking with a 3-1 victory over Charlton Athletic. Up next, Pompey play host to Plymouth Argyle at Thratton Park. Join us for all of the unmissable action this Saturday afternoon from 2. Full coverage of that game will be live right here.
Pompey Live on Express FM with Aqua Cars.
You won't want to miss it. The Not a Dockyard Derby returns to Thratton Park. Pompey play host to Plymouth Argyle, starting coverage here on Express FM. 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon with kickoff at 3 via Andy Moon and Guy Whittingham. Well, thank you for joining us this evening. It's been a great hour of Pompey discussion with Ryan Honey. Thanks again to him for joining us over the phone lines. Thank you to everyone who got involved on the text, tweets and emails throughout the show. We've got plenty to look forward to this weekend, and it all starts right after the 7 o'clock news. Connor Mosley is back playing the biggest tunes to get you ready for the weekend with Express Floor Fillers between 7 and 11 o'clock, when we've got more floor fillers non-stop all through the night. Tomorrow morning, Ian McGuinness is back with Saturday Breakfast. He's got stuff including non-stop 80s, 4 from 40, which is this weekend from 1990, movies with John Brown, the Random Top 5, and of course the latest news, sport and weather updates for Portsmouth. Lily Park is back at 11 a.m. with more great music, the Tiny Quiz, and of course a couple of weekend bangers to boot as well. And Mason Jordan is back with the local music show from 5:30 following our coverage of Pompey versus Plymouth Argyle. So have a great evening, Pompey fans. We look forward to hearing you tomorrow afternoon. Let us know how you think it's going to pan out. Do you think Pompey can make it 2 wins in a row? The only place to find out is here on Express FM from 2 p.m. Thank you for listening and good night. Play out Pompey.